Let's get ready to rumble!
Yes, we're back for another brilliant weekend of boxing. I know we say it every time, but it's always true. Steve Bunce is here to have a look at Manny Pacquiao versus Brandon Rios, and also the fight between Carl Froch and George Groves, of course, with a nice few fights on the undercard of that one as well. Bunce, you well? You prepared? You ready?
Yes, I am indeed, and I'm going to be joining the 2.8 billion people that generally watch boxing on Chinese television, eh? That's a market to plug into, Lee, isn't it?
You're not kidding, yeah. That's because, of course, the Pacquiao fight is in Macau. We're not going to discuss the David Haye shoulder injury, the Fury retirement rumours, etc. Well, we haven't got time, and you've done a great piece on the ESPN, haven't you, about that, and the heavyweight scene. So anyone who hasn't seen that yet, we're only going to repeat what you've put there and probably not do it anywhere near as good anyway. So go and read Bunce's piece on that. It covers absolutely everything. Let's launch straight in. I thought we'd do I know it's a bit cockeyed and a bit chronologically out of order, but let's do the Pacquiao fight first, shall we?
Sure.
He's 1-6 to beat Brandon Rios. Brandon Rios is 4-1. The draw's 28-1. Manny Pacquiao, of course, 54 wins, 38 by stoppage. He's lost 5, been stopped 3 times, drawn 2. Rios, 31 wins, 23 by stoppage, drawn 1, lost 1. The last one he lost was against Alvarado in the rematch. I was watching back some of the Rios fights just to remind myself, Bunce, classic, you know, come forward fighter, throws hooks all over the place. Unfortunately, I had to sit through the Murray fight again, the highlights.
Ouch.
I would love to see the stats on how many uppercuts he threw in that fight, Rios, because, I mean, he made a mess. Murray's actually he's fighting this weekend on Dave Caldwell, Bill, isn't he? But, I mean, he's vicious when he gets you in front of him, isn't he, this Rios?
He is. He didn't miss any punches. Sure. However many uppercuts he threw, he landed. Yeah, he is nasty. He is vicious. He does get caught too often. And really, this whole Macau experiment, Zhu Shiming, the double Olympic Chinese gold medal winner, is on the undercard, and he's the real reason why they're in Macau. We know the stats and figures on Macau. It's 6 times the size of Las Vegas when it comes to how much money it takes, and it's only 10% of the size when it comes to locations and places where you can gamble. So it's quite a bizarre city. That's what a bizarre place. That's why the fight's taking place there. Brandon Rios, perfectly chosen. A terrific fighter that takes too many punches. And in all fairness, he could have had an easier fight back, Pacquiao, to be absolutely straight with you. He would have still done business at the box office because people want to know if Pacquiao's got anything left. And what Bob Arum's done here, and Bob Arum does this old Uncle Bob, he's put him in a proper fight.
Yeah.
And also, it'll be a fight that will be entertaining. No matter who wins, no matter what the outcome is, it cannot but be a good fight. We're not going to suddenly see Pacquiao box. We're not going to suddenly see Rios try and pick his shots and be a bit clever and a bit livelier and a bit younger. We're not going to see that. We're going to see the two of them doing what they always do, which means inevitably the fight could be in a phone box and they're going to just whack each other. It's interesting looking at Pacquiao. I haven't fought, obviously, since he was caught with that short counter from Marquez in what was their full fight and the only one that Marquez officially won. Pacquiao, obviously, on the floor, knees juddering, absolutely unconscious. Long, hard decision whether to fight on. Now, the fight before that, of course, was when he lost to Tim Bradley on point. I love Tim Bradley, but there's no way Tim Bradley won that fight. And in fact, if you actually look at Pacquiao's quotes, he, in my opinion, is telling the truth when he says, "I don't like to hurt people. I knew Bradley was hurt. I let him survive." And he did let him survive. I thought there were 5 or 6 rounds where Bradley didn't know where he was. And I'm sure I've read somewhere, Lee, Bradley said afterwards, "I don't know. I didn't know where I was." Mm-hmm. So we're not quite sure what Pacquiao's got left. And that's really the story of this Macau fight. And Uncle Bob has delivered. This is why he's the greatest promoter in the history of boxing, even more potent than Don King, because he could have given his man an easy touch, both of it obviously his men. He could have given his main man, Pacquiao, an easy touch. He hasn't. He's given him a test. So Bob wants to know what he's got left in case he goes back to that negotiating table and tries to make a fight with Mayweather. Yes, Mayweather Pacquiao is being talked about again.
Well, I was interested in the weights because Rios was failing to make weights back with the Murray fight. It's 2012. He was failing to make lightweight, stepped up to light welter, now welter. I mean, I know Pacquiao's not a big welterweight by any stretch of the imagination, but is Rios growing into that? Is he going to deliver more power, do you think, than he has done in the past?
I don't know if he's going to deliver more power, but Pacquiao has well and truly grown into that weight category. And I would imagine on the night there won't be an awful lot between them, bearing in mind Pacquiao been fighting a welterweight when when Rios was still meant to be a lightweight. Now, I don't see the weight or the size or any of that being a factor. I think it's more a case of what Pacquiao has got left and how much more punishment Rios can take, you know, because he looked fantastic, $1 trillion against John Murray. In all other fights, he just looks like a terrific slugger.
Yes.
There is a difference. Would he try and box? You know, if he tried to box, it might help him. Will Pacquiao try and take his time and use his feet slightly more? He may very well try. Will Pacquiao fully recover from the knockout? That's what makes it interesting. The bookies don't seem to think it's as interesting or as potentially close as I do. So there you go.
Yeah, there's and William Hill have put quite a few markets out for this one. The usual markets, of course, the round by round. Then you've got the grouped rounds. Then you've got a few extra markets to the bottom, alternative grouped round betting, and some fight specials as well. So you've got Pacquiao in rounds 1-6, for instance, at 15-8, which looks short. Pacquiao in rounds 7-12. Is 15-8, then you've got the other option. Rios in those 1-6 and 7-12 are both 12-1.
So I mean, this is a foregone conclusion that Pacquiao stops him, according to the bookies. We've done some of these over the last 6 or 7 years. I mean, these are so outrageously short. I can't get my head around this.
Yeah, I mean, it's a surprise, isn't it, really? I mean, you know, look at, he's lost once, he lost on the decision. Never been stopped, Rios, has he?
No, not just
Pacquiao's
that.
Good, but he's tough. This guy's tough, isn't he?
Yeah, you know, he's a terrific fighter. And when, I think, you know, Pacquiao did the business on Ricky early, but that was it.
Yeah.
Early, for a long, long time, as far as I mean. I'm looking on top of my head here. I'm looking at, let's have a look at the fights that have taken place. De La Hoya, Cotto, all terrific, savage fights. But they're not first and two round and three and four round blowouts.
And like you say, he's not done that since Oscar De La Hoya and Hatton, has he? I mean, there was 12 against Cotto, 12 against Clotty, Margarito, Mosley, Marquez. Obviously Bradley as well. Yeah, there's no reason why it shouldn't go the distance, is there?
And Rios, it's not like Rios goes over on the floor and he's gone in the first two rounds and barely struggles into the third round. I tell you what, I think those are short odds, mate.
3-1 for Pacquiao to win by decision.
Wow.
Yeah, it's bigger than the...
The 3-1 makes sense because he's going to get the decision.
Yeah.
The 3-1, that's the bet of the day.
Yeah.
And that's the William Hill boxing bet of the day, Big Lee.
Brilliant. And if you just fancy a shorter price, but for the fight to go over... I mean, for the fight to go over 10 or more rounds, effectively, is 5-4. And it's for under 9.5 rounds, so 9 or less is 8-13. It's... interesting one. You've got to reach the end of the ninth round there, obviously, for that over 9.5 to land. It should be a cracker. It's on Box Nation, of course, this weekend. It's got some good fights coming up. And the 24/7's on there as well, isn't it, Buncey?
Yeah, what they're doing is starting at 8 o'clock at night with the fight from Germany, and they'll show the final 24/7. And then the Pacquiao fight will take place at the normal sort of time, the 4 o'clock-ish in the morning, because I believe that's about 11 o'clock in the morning Macau time. The fight actually takes place on Sunday.
Yes,
so it's not actually the 23rd, it is actually the 24th that it will take place in its time zone, but of course that's reversed back both to America, where it will take place on the 23rd, and of course it will still take place on the 24th officially. It's very confusing. So I fancy Pacquiao, I fancy him on point, and I fancy him in a really tough war. If he wears him down and stops him in about 8 or 9 rounds, which is what people keep telling me, then the bookies have got it spot on.
Yeah. On the bill, that's topped by George Groves and Carl Froch. We've got some other good fights here. We're just going to run through these because we haven't got an awful lot of time to spend picking through each of them, and we'll get Buncey's thoughts on them. They're all for various titles, Buncey. Stephen Smith in action against Sergio Manuel Medina for the WBC silver super featherweight title. This guy's been
That's a mouthful.
Yeah, I mean, this looks a test, doesn't it? I mean, this Medina, you know, he's had a lot of fights, hasn't he? He hasn't lost too many. He's won 39, stopped 21 of his opponents, and you know, he's I think he's lost 6 and been stopped 3 times himself. Admittedly, a lot of those defeats have come, you know, in the last few years.
I think this is about one of the best fights on the undercard, to be perfectly honest with you. It's an undercard that's been decimated by X, Y, and Z falling through and this happening. It's been cursed in many, many ways. Thankfully, the top of the woods, we'll talk about in a minute, has carried it certainly on the hype front. This is a good fight for Stephen. It was a bit chaotic, remember. He's temporarily suspended by the British Boxing Board of Control. Thankfully, his license is reinstated. He's got this fight. If he wins this fight, he gets the fight with the guy that's got the silver belt. And if he wins that fight, he gets in line for a fight for the world title. So it's a fight that's going somewhere. And I always like to see a fight that's going somewhere, Lee.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, when a guy's already been a double champion like Stephen Smith has been, and when he's operating on the fringes of world class, I don't like to see fighters treading water there. They're not getting any younger. They're just getting hungrier. And I think, so this is at least, it's a direct path. Eddie Hearn, the promoter, his new promoter, has said he beats this guy, he fights the silver champion. He beats the silver champion, he fights the world champion. Bish, bosh, and bang, it's got to happen. Because otherwise we move into what's going to be known forever now on as the Kell Brook zone, where you're the number one contender for 3 to 4 years, where you're matched for 18 months with the champion, and it still doesn't happen, and there's still no date for it happening. Robert McCracken had that a million years ago, as did Richie Woodall. They had about 18-month waits, as did Gary Jacobs back in the bad old days, the 90s and early this century. But for a modern fighter to wait more than 6 or 7 months, it's almost unheard of. Kell Brook has now stretched it out, and let's hope Stephen Smith doesn't find himself in a year's time in a final eliminator. You look at Kell Brook's record, it's eliminator, yeah. Final eliminator, final eliminator. It's ridiculous.
It is, yeah.
Let's hope Stephen Smith really is 2 fights away from stepping in for a world title.
Anthony Crolla fights Stephen Foster. This is for the WBO Intercontinental Lightweight title. Crolla, since those defeats to Derry Matthews and Gary Sykes, has been on a decent one. He had a draw with Derry Matthews, of course, didn't he? But won against Gavin Reese in his last outing. Stephen Foster, you kind of forget how long Stephen Foster's been around, really. 31 wins,
indeed.
18 knockouts, 4 losses, lost 2 in his last 5. Look at the names on Stephen Foster's record books. He's got all the right names on there, hasn't he?
There's nobody he hasn't fought from in and around his weight for almost the last decade.
Yeah.
He's a good fighter. This is hastily rearranged because Martin Geffen was meant to be defending his title, his British lightweight title against Crolla, but Geffen had to pull out. So it's one of the casualties. You know what? It's a good replacement. It's a terrific domestic fight. This is a fight that could be easily for a British title at any point in the last 5 or 6 years. So I've got no problem with this one at all.
Yeah. Rocky Fielding's in action in the Commonwealth Super Middleweight title fight against Luke Blackledge. Undefeated Rocky Fielding, of course. Came to prominence in the prize fighter tournament, way back when. Again, still not doing much wrong, is he? Luke Blackledge has lost once himself, a couple of fights back. Shouldn't have any trouble here, though, should he, Fielding?
Well, it's a tricky one. It's an interesting one, this, because Luke Blackledge was meant to be fighting Paul Smith for the British Super Middleweight title on the 7th of December. Paul Smith has left, he's in dispute with Frank Warren, so won't be fighting there. Blackledge was left without a fight, but he was prepared, he was in good nick. Eddie Hearn asked permission. Steve Wood, who promotes and manages Blackledge, as a courtesy call, spoke to Frank Warren Promotions or Frank Warren's office. Frank Warren's office said, yep, no problem at all, let the kid go ahead, I don't want to see the kid denied a payday. So he's taking it. Now this is an interesting one, because On paper, you're fancying Fielding, but this could turn out to be the real tussle of the night. It's a much harder test than Rocky Fielding already had. I think he's had a couple of opponents named and fall through. This is a test. This is a proper fight. This one, I like this one a lot. This is, you know what? It's a build that's been decimated, but that's been rebuilt.
It's got some tough scraps in it, hasn't it, Bunty? Scraps on it, by the looks of things.
Yeah, I've got to be honest with you. I think that Crolla and Foster is a really good fight, a good domestic fight. I think that Blackledge against Fielding is a really good domestic fight. Of course, the problem with all of these fights is this is a pay-per-view bill.
Yes.
So people are saying, well, listen, Crolla Geffen, that's not a pay-per-view fight. Fielding against Adamu wasn't a pay-per-view fight. Now then, I think that people are getting better fights now. But there's still a debate. I'm not saying it's not pay-per-view. There's still a debate whether or not it's value for money pay-per-view. Now, my argument, Lee, and it's really easy to wind people up on social networking sites, my argument is that a pay-per-view should be just for the one fight. I don't give a monkey's what the undercard is. I'm paying my 15 quid, 20 quid or whatever to watch Froch and Groves. I don't give a monkey's about the undercard.
No.
That's not what pay-per-view is about. Pay-per-view, it's about Holyfield. So it's about Tyson Bruno. That's what it's about. You don't care about the other. You can't moan and say, well, I don't know if that's a good fight. Rubbish. It's not about that. It's about the main event. And that's why I've got no problem with this as a pay-per-view. However, I do see and I can understand people abstaining and listening to Five Live instead of paying.
Yeah, that's no bad thing at all, because it's usually absolutely fantastic commentary.
We hope so.
Scott Quigg finally against Diego Oscar Silva for the WBA World Super Bantamweight title. Quigg's on that that ascension, isn't he, to glory, you would think. I mean, that he needs to probably just get over the draw against Yohandris Salinas, which is no great shame there. You know, the guy was unbeaten, but just needs to get that one out of his system, I suppose, doesn't he?
Yeah, this is a perfectly adequate fight. I mean, this guy Silva's fought, what is it, 6 times in 4 years since he was stopped. He's only lost a couple. He's a perfectly okay opponent. We've seen zillions of these guys. You know, it was only, whatever, 5 weeks ago, 6 weeks ago, that Quigg went a good hard 12 rounds that was tight against the unbeaten Cuban. I've got no problem with this. And it's been particularly low-key, the pitch for this. But, if he gets a good few rounds, 12 or something shorter, you know, likelihood is that Quigg will get to him. He stops enough fighters, really. He stopped 19 out of his 26 wins. I fancy Quigg will get to him. It's a perfectly okay fight.
Yeah. The main event then, Carl Froch versus George Groves. Chances are we won't know if it's value for money until after we've seen the fight. Carl Froch, of course, defending his WBA IBF super middleweight titles at the MEN Arena. 31 wins, 22 by stoppages, lost twice and never drawn a fight. George Groves, 19 wins, no defeats. 15 of his wins have come by stoppage. It's 1-4, Carl Froch. The odds have barely moved, to be honest with you. George Groves is 3-1. The draw price, should you want it, is 28-1. Plenty of markets on this fight, but I've got to declare a bit of an interest here, Bunty. When you work in sport, I tend to go into most sporting events, whether it just be watching it or betting on it, as a complete neutral. I don't really care that much.
Yeah.
But I'm a massive fan of Carl Froch, right? And it's just permeated through me over the past 5 years, I guess. And I can't. It's very difficult. So what I've done, I've personally gone through, I've been thinking about this fight for a good week now, through all the relevant things, you know, in no particular order, the skill, power, defence, heart, experience and temperament. I can't give Groves any of those, but I can give Froch about 4 or 5 of those, I think.
Yeah, or more.
Or more, maybe. Yeah. And so then I thought to myself, well, it's only fair to start looking at Froch's weaknesses and maybe trying to find something that Groves has got in him. And to me, I can't get out of my head that he still looks like he's caught in the headlights a bit, Groves. Am I wrong?
I think you're right. You know, these are the sort of known unknowns. You know, we're not sure how Groves is going to react.
No.
So we're not sure about his nerves, his lack of 12 rounds at world championship level, the drastic change of trainers after 5 years, splitting quite acrimoniously with Adam Booth and signing up with Paddy Fitzpatrick. But then we look at Froch and we think, well, is he perhaps just a little bit jaded? Has he just peaked and gone along? You're not saying he's going down, but has he peaked and going along? Has he made it too personal? Is he the one that's allowed it to get too personal? And more importantly, has he underestimated Groves in any way, shape or form? Froch is talking about it being a couple of round blast out. Well, just like we talked about Pacquiao, Froch hasn't blasted anybody out. Yusuf Max shouldn't have been anywhere near the boxing ring. Nottingham shouldn't have been anywhere near the East Midlands when Froch did a job on him a couple of years ago, or last year, whenever it was. So Froch hasn't blasted people out for an awful long time. Froch's claim and argument is the fighting George Groves is like going back to British title level when he did blast everybody out.
Mm.
Well, if that's the case, it's going to be 2 or 3 rounds. However, I don't think George Groves is straightforward title level. He's better than Damon Haig, he's better than Tony Dodson, he's better than Robin Reed, all those guys that
he's proved that, hasn't he? He beat Paul Smith in 2011. He's got Glenn Johnson on his record. I know Glenn Johnson was there.
Hold on. Glenn Johnson on his record 18 months earlier, Johnson lost to Froch. Two of the judges gave it to Froch and the third judge gave it a draw. Fast forward 17 months, Glenn Johnson's by that stage, Glenn Johnson's about 43. When he fought Froch, I think he was 42. So he's an old man in both fights. And Groves has a complete shutout against him.
And nearly stopped him as well, by the way, didn't he?
And nearly stopped him, okay. And Carl had a right hard night with Glenn Johnson. He couldn't quite work out what to do. He needed a bit more movement, and instead he didn't meet movement with movement. Instead of moving, he just tried to do it with brute force. And you're absolutely right. Not only that, 2010, Groves has a war with Kenny Anderson, okay? Gets hurt, gets involved, has a war there. 2011, He beats De Gaulle, which was a fight that tested his nerve in many ways. Okay, then he stops Smigger, which was a really good stoppage when you look at it. It was a good shot. Then we have the Glenn Johnson fight. Before that, we have the Francisco Sierra fight out on the Robert Guerrero bill out in California when he gets hurt and he gets caught. Everybody seems to have wiped out Groves' past. Everybody just seems to accept that, you know, he's a bit mouthy. You know, he's a little bit arrogant. He's only had 19 fights, and he just beat De Gaulle. Well, hold on a minute. He may have just beaten De Gaulle, but that was a fight that was did stunning business at the box office. Did stunning business on the night, and it pitched two kids with so much to lose and too much pride. It was a quality 12-round fight, and it was a hard 12-round fight. But as I've just said, there's four or five other fights which I think need to be considered. Groves not coming into this fight with just the De Gaulle fight as his pedigree. Oh no, I make a claim for there being four or five other fights in there. And listen, I don't think George Groves will win. I think he can win, and I think there's certain ways that he can win. But I would be absolutely staggered if Groves was blasted out of there in 2, 3, or 4 rounds. I would be staggered.
Yeah,
I would be shocked and staggered.
So you think he'll at least he can make things difficult for Froch through the movement, because he has got skills, hasn't he? He knows how to stay out of trouble. He's proved that he can stick to a game plan. There's no way he's going to go toe to toe with him in the middle of the ring like he explained yesterday, is there?
Of course not. He's got a game plan, and B, he sticks to it. And if he sticks to it, and if it is what I think it's going to be, which is short, really quick punches, fast. Really quick punches. Not standing there going 1, 2, 3 looking for the third shot of a combination. And if it's all about movement, and if it's all about just touching Froch as he starts to settle. Froch needs to settle and he gets pinged. That's how Kessler gave him so much trouble. That's how Andre Ward pinged him, then grabbed him and held him and pushed him. I don't think Groves will be that brave, that bold, to try and replicate what Ward did. I think he'll take a little bit of what Ward did and a little bit of what Kessler did, and it'll be about movement, and it'll be about quick singles, and it will be about not standing and admiring your work. And I tell you what, I wouldn't be at all surprised to see Carl have to do a little bit of chasing here.
This
you know what? It will be ugly. And I know Carl Froch keeps insisting he's not taking it personally. Keeps insisting that he's not let Groves get to him. But he, you know, I think he basically, it's just relentless denial. There has to be something there.
Yeah, he works his heart and his sleeve a bit too much, Carl Froch, doesn't he?
And I'm telling you, Groves thinks this is fun.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, Groves is not even fazed by this. Although I am told reliably that after the weigh-in yesterday, after the head-to-head, after the pictures, there was an altercation witnessed by very few people where Carl suddenly turned very nasty.
As he does.
And it was really unpleasant. Mm. And I'm told that Groves turned away, and I'm also told he was blushing.
Interesting.
So now that was a real private, four or five people witnessed it, and it was apparently serious. It wasn't Carl Froch saying, you know, you've got bad breath, you know, you don't know what you're doing. It wasn't the usual rubbish. It was apparently a little bit more intense. And that is something that several really good fighters have done over the years. Eubank was brilliant at that.
Yeah.
Just getting them, and he'd whisper in their ear something incredibly nasty.
Well, he is Ali, menacing, of course, he is menacing, isn't he? I mean, Carl Froch is genuinely menacing when you see him.
Absolutely.
On TV.
Yeah.
So he got to him.
So I think he may have got to him. So if I look at it, I see a Carl Froch victory on point.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I say. I don't know how that's
3-1. Same as the Pacquiao one.
3-1.
Nice double.
What's George winning on points?
George Groves winning on points is 5-1. The thing with me, as far as the betting goes, Muncy, I don't think I can answer enough questions about Groves to trust him at 3-1. Do you know what I mean? It's not a big enough price for me to trust all those unknowns that you mentioned when you know how hard Froch is.
Yeah. Absolutely. I just think that he's got a he's always had a good boxing brain, George. There's one factor that we're not talking about here. We're not factoring in. You're talking about strength, blah, 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 experience, power, this, that, and the other, all of those factors. And let's say you get a list of 30 of them and you tick them, or you give them each marks out of 10. There's another little factor, and it comes with an asterisk at the top, and it says, and this is it, it's a question, is the time right?
Mm.
And this is what, is the time right? I don't think Carl Froch is on the slide, but I don't think he's as sharp, as fast, and as penetrating as he maybe was 18 months ago, 2 years ago. The Kessler fight was a hard fight. We forget that, mate. We've all got, you know, the way we talk it, the way I've been watching them on Sky, you can't watch it all on Sky because you've got to have a life. There's just so much I've seen on Sky. But I've been watching on Sky, and the way people are talking and portraying that fight, you think he gave him a boxing lesson in the last three rounds of doing alley shuffles and backflips. Mm-hmm. Well, it wasn't. I was ringside. That was hard.
Yeah, definitely was. Just one last thing. Again,
go on, Sam.
You've got to respect the way George Groves is pretty calm in the build-up. You know, he seems to take it all in his stride, and it must be quite a big thing to deal with.
Oh, gosh.
When you watch the documentaries that Sky put on, the Behind the Ropes documentaries, is the camp a little soft, Buncey? Because he's surely going to have to go into the trenches to win this, Groves. It looks a little soft at times. Like, it doesn't seem to be quite as much intensity as you'd maybe like from Groves.
You know what, George is fairly laid back.
Yeah, he is, very, isn't he?
You can't create a harsh environment.
True.
He knows what a harsh environment is. You know, he's been hurt by Kenny Anderson. He's had to dig deep against James DeGaal. He's had to fight against Sierra. He had to stay on plan, on dot, for every second of every round against Glenn Goff Johnson. You can't suddenly change the way he prepares. That's the way he prepares.
Yeah,
you know,
fair enough.
Providing Paddy Fitzpatrick is half the man everyone keeps saying he is, and providing George has taken enough from Adam Booth and co, from all the years he spent with them, we'll see. We'll find out.
Yeah. So, Froch on decision then. 3-1.
Yeah, Froch on decision. I mean, in my opinion, it's a Froch and Pacquiao double.
Yeah, yeah, should be good.
Good night.
Yes, those rounds, grouped round betting that I spoke about for the Pacquiao fight, they're all available as well. So some additional betting markets available on this fight, and there's some specials as well. An early finish, the fight to end in the first three rounds, as is being predicted by Carl Froch, is 9-2. The fight ending during the 12th round, which isn't unheard of with Froch, remember?
Yeah, Froch loves that.
16-1.
16-1. You know what?
1. Worth a quid, eh?
I tell you what, that's the freak bet of the weekend.
Yeah, because he might have gotten to him by then, might he? Holding Froch off for all that time might be a tough old job for Groves.
Although I've done some looking back at some Froch rounds the last couple of rounds, and I look back at the Durrell fight when it was a tight fight. I thought he won by a few rounds. Well, two of the three judges made him lose the last three rounds.
Right.
And I've looked at some, and I haven't got the other stats in front of me, but we've got this idea that Froch starts a bit slow and builds up and walks the last three rounds. Well,
maybe
that's
not
actually
true.
The case.
No, maybe not so true. Fascinating fight, but I actually can't wait for it. I'm going to be quite nervous for this one, I think. It's going to be great. Enjoy it. Like Buncey said, he's on Five Live doing the radio commentary for it. So if you want a night full of Buncey as well, Five Live for this, and then you got your Box Nation afterwards.
Not a bad weekend.
Or do the pay-per-view and get a few mates round.
Yeah,
just to be fair to Sky. The other thing is, about pay-per-view, people moan about it. Not that expensive, you get a few mates round. It's £3 each or something. Yeah,
hey,
get a few beers in.
To watch Mayweather recently, it was $69.99 plus your local taxes if you're in America. $69. And bear in mind, some of those local taxes might have been 18%. You're paying nearly $100.
Yeah. Wow. Wow, that's a lot of money
right
there.
In your living room.
Crazy.
All right, Lee Ski.
Thank you, Buncey. Yeah, thanks to Steve Bunce there. Fantastic previews, as always. If you haven't a bet on any of the fights this weekend, then very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.